Well, hello-a-roo. This is Peter Fitzgerald. Guess what time it is? That's right, it's time for Dave's Gone By, a gay old time on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport, and AM 1240 WGBB.com for live audio streaming.
There goes the Daverhood!
You got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, or should I say, as we go ape on this February 22nd, 2009, the 305th episode of Dave's Gone By. We're calling it Washington Squared because tomorrow is Washington's birthday, but we could also call it Monkey Shines because I want to talk to you about, well, that wonderful, amazing monkey story, because it's all, you know, with everything else going on. Now, I'm going to get into this first. I'll do this before the sponsors. I'll do this before anything else because it's so amazingly cool. Now, I was having a pretty lousy week last week, because, you know, it's still the middle of winter and everything's gray, and a lot of things are really kind of up and bumpy in my life, and money troubles and other kinds of troubles, and just feeling really kind of down about a whole bunch of things. And then I am taking a little break from work, looking at the news stories on Yahoo. I don't care how terrible and sad and tragic the story is or was, and it is a terrible story, but admit it, when you all first heard that a woman had her friend's face torn off by her pet chimp, you had to go like, you just had to look at that and say, no, that's just too good. Yeah, I mean, I know it's sick, I know it's awful, but let's face it, what is someone doing with a pet chimp, even if they're trained? You know, there's, as we'll get into the New York Post stuff in a minute or two, but even the Post, you had to take the story seriously because someone was very seriously injured, but at the same time, the great headline after it happened was Furious George, which is about as brilliant a headline as I've heard in a while. And I don't, you know, this idea that you can domesticate a 200-pound animal is the things that humans do. It's kind of like, I'm an animal lover, and we have two dogs at home, but it's a special proviso with me. We have little, tiny dachshund dogs. We don't have pit bulls. My wife grew up with German shepherds. I was not comfortable with having a dog just about as big as I am in the house. My feeling is, okay, if you can't kill it with a hammer, you shouldn't own it. It should be a dog that if it attacks you, you can shake it off your leg or step on it. Or something, you know, it'll give you a scratch, it'll give you a couple of stitches, but if it's an animal that can tear your face off, even once in a blue, blue, blue moon, you really don't want to be having that animal with you. The other great thing about this story is when you go on to read the Yahoo stories and the other news stories about it, you get the people blogging back and giving their opinions and making their jokes and saying things. One person resurrected a poem that I haven't heard in years that was, "I hate every chimp I see, from chimpan A to chimpanzee." I mean, you know, just to come up with that a couple of minutes after reading this horrible, tragic story, I just love people. And then, of course, the jokes start about the whole thing. Like, I was thinking in terms of, it was a trained chimp. What's his name, Travis, had appeared on television shows and in movies. So you heard that the neighbor who got mauled by this thing, she was actually teaching it hockey. Unfortunately, she lost the face off. But, you know, thank you. I wish I had that comedy bell right about now. The other joke about that. Oh, yes. Do you know how the chimp tore the skin off her face. Every which way and loose. You know, I tried those two jokes yesterday at the Stage Buggy show, and they got exactly the same reaction as this empty room right here. But, you know, it is terrible to laugh at these things, but you kind of have to. And, of course, the New York Post goes one step further. So they have the glory of that wonderful headline, Furious George. What do they print a day later? The, what will, I guess, from now on be called the cartoon. This is the New York Post's ever so sensitive and tasteful animators, or whatever you want to call it, draw a political cartoon of the ape being shot, lying there bleeding, holes in its chest, blood everywhere, a policeman holding the guns, and one policeman turning to each other and going, well, I guess now someone else will have to write the stimulus bill. It's a funny, it was a pretty funny cartoon in awful, awful taste, but not awful taste in the way that a certain segment of society has apparently taken it. Immediately, because of our, whatever, 400-year history of treating minorities in this country, immediately there was a faction saying, wait a minute, that is an incredibly racist cartoon. They're making fun of Barack Obama, not because he's the guy who signed into law a bill that is going to cost this country $800 billion, and that you have the right to have the opinion, maybe you do, maybe you don't, that the bill won't work and that it's too much money, that it's a dumb idea, or you have the right to think, hey, he's going to throw it up in the air and see if it works, and you know, nobody else has any better ideas, so why not? And certainly it was Bush who got us into this mess, so you know, the Democrats are going to try and spend our way out of it. Whatever. Either way, the cartoon itself, in my opinion, is about exactly what the Post defended itself in saying that it was about. It's a joke about the writing of the bill. It's a joke about whether it's being confusing or full of pork, or if it's just a dumb idea that probably won't work. In the cartoonist's mind, to ascribe to it racial characteristics, and a lot of people are doing this because, you know, there's a borderline thing now that we do have an African-American president. But first of all, I think we have to take into a couple of things into consideration. First of all, the monkey was not drawn to look remotely like Barack Obama. If anything, the monkey was hairy and bushy on the head and the face and a big kind of belly, but also a squat short butt. The monkey looks much, much more like me than it ever will or did Barack Obama. And I think the cartoonist was probably very, very careful to draw it exactly that way. And they also made it very clear that this was a joke about the bill, like a wild chimp, and it doesn't matter whether it would have been Barack Obama as president putting that bill forward, or if it had been John McCain putting that bill forward, or if it wasn't even about the bill, if it had been new tax laws for 2010 going into effect, and you start reading the tax laws, and they're just as confusing and crazy as the old ones. And so, you know, the cops come in, they shoot the chimp, and they, one says to the other, well, I guess we'll have to find someone else to write those new tax laws, won't we? It would be the same joke meant in the same exact way. So, that's my opinion on the thing. I hate sometimes to defend the New York Post, being a right-wing paper and being one of the reasons we had George Bush for all those damn years, but, you know, I'm curious if you want to agree or disagree with me. You can by writing to me at davesgoneby@AOL.com. That's Dave, like my name, davesgoneby@AOL.com. And also, if we have some time at the end of the show towards 7 o'clock, you can give us a call then, and maybe we'll be able to take a phone call or two and get your opinions on the whole chimp New York Post mess. But since we're talking about Obama and presidents and stuff, and since tomorrow is Washington's birthday, I thought it would be a fun thing to have a special guest on this episode, this early evening episode of Dave's Gone By. She'll be on in just about 2 minutes. Her name is Jane Flynn, and she's written a bunch of cool trivia books. She actually bills them as the best trivia books. And her most recent is The Best Trivia Book of U.S. Presidents, and all these weird little strange details. You think they're perfect people behind an ivory tower or really crazy eccentric people? Well, they're somewhere in between the two. And she's going to give us a whole bunch of cool, funny, weird facts about U.S. presidents all through our history. So she'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. And also, Inside Broadway tonight on Dave's Gone By, we'll be doing a couple of things we didn't have time to do last Sunday night, I'll be reviewing the show Lansky, and also talking about a show called Leia's Train. Those are two off-Broadway shows. And I think I'm also going to talk about John Paul George Ringo, which is a one-person show in which a guy named Dave J impersonates all four Beatles, and the audience gets to ask him questions of the different persona that he's playing. Kind of a cool idea. And Dave J has been on this program about a year or two ago. He's a friend of the show. So, little caveat there that I can't be 100% objective in the review. But all of that, plus news of the Rialto on Inside Broadway tonight on Dave's Gone By. Now, let me do the sponsors. They are Hewlett-Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. They're, it's 10% off there for Dave's Gone By listeners on any job, big or small, at Hewlett-Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway. Tell them Dave sent you. Also, we are brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Jeff, the owner, he's usually the co-host, guest co-host of this program, but he's living it up in Thailand, where here we got this freezing rain and snow tonight. Jeff is larking it up somewhere in Bangkok. So I wish him well, and I'm jealous as hell, but when he gets back, the best thing you can do is inundate him with phone calls to decorate your party with balloons and centerpieces. 516-797-3229 is his number. 516-797-3229. We are also brought to you by the Woodrow Delicatessen, 1342 Peninsula Boulevard. They're in the Penn Shopping Center. WoodrowDeli.com is the URL for them. And remember, that's Woodrow Deli.com. Leave off that second W for wonderful food. Yeah, see, we're getting better with that. We've been working on that W thing for a while, but that wonderful food kind of works. And finally, this program is brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway since 1944. Everything you need to know about the Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, dance, performing arts of New York in Performing Arts Insider. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information and also the great discount that Dave's Gone By listeners get by subscribing to it. Just a reminder that you can listen to older episodes of this program at DavesGoneBy.org. We've just finally this week added a few more old episodes so that, with the exception of our show 2 weeks ago that was still putting together in the editing room, as it were, every program that we've done from January of 2004 until now is on the line, online. You can listen to it anytime for free. Download it or stream it on your computer at davesgoneby.org. Well, okay, it's 25 after 6 already. We've got to get going and start doing some show here. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's a commercial or two. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jane Flynn and some presidential trivia. Don't go away.
Okay.
What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett-Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett-Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett-Minuteman Press. They're the kings. Here are 15 reasons why you should visit the Woodrow Delicatessen in Hewlett. Brisket, hot open roast beef, barbecue chicken fricassee, Polynesian chicken, frankfurters, stuffed cabbage, Romanian tenderloin, fresh turkey off the bone, matzo ball soup, French fries, corned beef, pastrami, seven-layer cake, and Hawaiian chicken salad. And here are three more reasons. The Woodrow is kosher, open daily in the Peninsula Shopping Center, and they cater. Woodrow Deli. How many reasons do you need?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In 2007, I created Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. It's a TV show by Jews, about Jews, and for everybody. It airs Wednesdays at 8 a.m. on Channel 115 and Fridays 4:30 a.m. on Channel 20. On Manhattan Cable, it's still Channel 67, Sunday afternoons, 1:30. You can also watch episodes on YouTube. Just search under my name, Saul Solomon, or Shalom Dammit. And God saw that it was good, and you'll see, it's great! And hopefully having a great time with us here on Dave's Gone By on this rainy, icky, cold Sunday night in February. But we're going to warm things up here with some trivia with a very fun person, and she's actually not just a trivia person, she is the queen of trivia, self-billed. Her name is Jane Flynn, and she's written the best trivia book of presidents, and we welcome her to the neighborhood. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
You're very, very welcome. And where are you calling from? You're in Florida, right?
I'm in Vero Beach, Florida, on the Atlantic Ocean.
Make us feel really terrible. How's the weather there?
Oh, it was beautiful today. I was up at the beach, and it was a gorgeous sunny day. A little too cold for the ocean, but I just was up there for a couple hours sipping on a pina colada and having a wonderful time.
I hate you. I hate you already. But I will not let that stand in my way of plugging your book and asking some cool questions about presidents, since we're in the midst of that whole Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday, and so-called President's Day. I thought it might be a fun thing to talk about your book and some of the weird things that people just don't know about presidents.
And a lot of quirky ways about them.
Okay, such as, let's have a couple of your pitches.
First of all, I'd like to say Thomas Jefferson, he invented macaroni and cheese. He founded the Library of Congress, and he set up the Democratic Party. One of his quirky ways was he would welcome visitors in his pajamas in the White House.
Uh-huh. Well, all visitors or just Sally Hemings? I'm just kidding there.
That was his girlfriend.
Do you know how he invented macaroni? Was it an accident? Did he fall into... Was he walking around and fell into a bowl of noodles with some soft cheese and boom?
Actually, he invented quite a few different... he had his own farm where he grew grapes for wine.
Ooh.
He also grew tomatoes. And until he ate a tomato, Americans would not eat a tomato. And then he ate one and said, this is okay. And Americans started eating tomatoes.
So he's indirectly responsible for ketchup. That's so
cool. Yeah.
And also, apparently, there was this one thing where Martha Washington was going one way, he was going the other. They crashed into it. And she was holding, of all things, peanut butter. And he had chocolate. And this amazing thing happened. They just, you know.
Peanut butter cup.
Yeah. No, I kid. Now, let me do this more in like a trivia style, because you were kind enough to send me some questions that I'll ask you, and the audience can take it almost more of a trivia thing.
Okay.
Now, when this president's wife was having a seizure, he would become so embarrassed, he would throw a napkin over her head.
Can you believe it?
Now, I don't know who this is. I don't, so.
That was William McKinley. Ida McKinley, his wife.
He'd
throw a napkin over her head.
Good Lord. Because he was embarrassed by her?
He wanted
to spare his guests? Or
he was embarrassed in front of his guests,
And this is the guy who was shot, right?
Yes.
So, no loss there, I guess. What a son of a bee. Well,
yeah, I know.
Now, I think I know this one. Which president...
He was also... the record for shaking hands at a record 2,500 minutes. Hour. 2,500 per hour he was shaking hands. That was a record.
Well, let's see. How many is that per second? It must be, he might have to do like, what, 3-4 people a second?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
I know.
Whoa. Okay. Now, which president got stuck in the bathtub and had to be pried out with a cane? Was that Garfield?
William Howard Taft.
Taft, of course.
Actually, he gained 90 pounds while in the White House. He hated the White House. He considered it the most loneliest place.
Okay,
it was like a prison to him.
So he was unhappy and he ate. He's like a girl on Weight Watchers. That's amazing.
He was totally depressed, so he got really round.
And then he got stuck in the tub, and so they got, a crane?
That's what they said, a crane. I don't know how they did it, but
wow.
They pried him out.
If only there were viral video back then.
Cell phones.
Just one fireman with a cell phone. And then we would have the best YouTube clip of all time.
It would have been too funny.
This president and his wife detested light switches, and they were always turning them off, even though 11 other family members lived with them. Would that be the Roosevelts or the Madisons, maybe?
Neither. That was Benjamin Harrison, also known as Kid Gloves. He was a centennial president.
Now, was it a phobia, or what was it?
They just both hated... Actually, electricity was brought into the White House at this time, and he and his wife just both detested, I guess, electricity, because they were always shutting them off. And the 11 other family members must have been really just having a rough time, you know?
Just a lot of shins with black and blue marks in their family, I'll tell you that. Which president's wife was addicted... Now, everybody's going to say Betty Ford, but no. Which president's wife was addicted to snuff?
That was Dolly Madison. She liked to spit, chew, and bet.
And what?
Spit,
chew,
and bet.
Bet?
B-E-T, bet.
Oh, you mean she was a gambler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and she also introduced ice cream to the White House, and her favorite flavor was oyster.
What?
Yeah, if you can believe that.
How do you make oyster ice cream?
I don't know. Well,
I don't think
a lot
of
the... over in Japan, they have a lot of crazy flavors, like squid and, just crazy flavors with ice cream that you would never even think of.
Okay. No, I know on Thanksgiving, there's a company in America that makes these different sodas. They actually have a turkey soda that we've talked about on the show, which I have never drunk, and if God is with me, I never will. But the idea of squid ice cream.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you served it in, 8 little cones. One, long cone. That'd be neat.
The tentacles, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Which president, speaking of food, loved his cucumbers, and this is not a sexual metaphor, it's actual cucumbers, doused in vinegar and strong coffee as a meal, and he was also given a ticket for driving his horse too fast.
Yeah, $20 ticket. This was Ulysses S. Grant.
They were charging $20 back then?
$20 a ticket for riding a horse down Elm Street one fine day in New York.
Okay. Oh, man. I assume he wasn't president when he got the ticket. That may have been before or after, right? Or was it during his term?
I took it as it was during his term.
Good.
He was president during 1869.
It just amazes the idea that a president should be expected to obey the law. That's how far we've sunk in this culture. That we just assume the president is going to get away with something like that. Or anything.
I know.
Let's see. This is interesting. Which president liked to exercise on a mechanical horse that he kept in his bedroom? And he also liked to have cereal in bed with his head massaged with Vaseline. This is how he would spend his morning.
Yeah, that was Silent Cal, Calvin Coolidge, president during the Roaring Twenties.
Calvin, okay, the head, I can understand even the head massage. That'd be a wonderful way to wake up. But the Vaseline, I can't even begin.
Wasn't that a very quirky...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He,
yeah,
he had a raccoon that was on that was his pet, and he walked around it on a leash.
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
I guess at least it wasn't a wild chimp. That's a little better than that. See, a raccoon you can kill with a hammer. That's my main thing. If you can have a raccoon on a leash, if it attacks you, it might give you a nasty bite. You might get a little rabid, but you can pull it off and kill it real quick. So raccoon, yes, chimp. No, I think we've established that pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Now, this one I know the answer to. Elvis Presley gave which president a handgun as a gift. I'm assuming that's Nixon.
Right.
And
you know...
What?
You know how he paid for his congressional run?
I mean, Nixon. No, how?
Yeah, he won $10,000 in a poker.
That was... Wait a minute. It only took $10,000 to run for Congress back then? That's cool, I guess. Except Nixon, that's how Nixon did it.
Yeah, $10,000 he won at poker, and that's how he paid for his first congressional run.
Somehow it makes a sick sort of sense, and I don't know why. And speaking of Elvis Presley, by the way, what was his thing? He used to eat peanut butter and banana sandwiches. That was one of his things.
That was Clinton.
President Clinton liked banana sandwiches with peanut butter, too.
Yeah.
I guess
that was
probably a Southern thing. Yeah.
So did Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Right, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is there trivia about George W. Moron that we don't, or that you can tell us? Anything?
George W. Washington?
No, George W.
Who'd you say?
Bush, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. George Bush. He liked to ride his bike with his iPod and listen to country music. This was the son.
Oh, yeah, right. The previous president.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, the fact that he knew how to work an iPod, somehow it's the one thing that he, I guess, could have done better than John McCain. Other than anything else. Any other George Bush quirks and stories and whatever? Because that's not so terribly embarrassing.
Except
the country music part, but yeah.
I don't have too many on him.
Or Obama. Do you have anything on, any dirt on, you know,
on
well, except his resemblance to his non-resemblance to a New York Post cartoon. Well, anything on the Big O?
I have about Polk.
Polk, okay.
He was diagnosed with gallstones. He had surgery back in 1812, and you know what? What was so terrible about that?
What?
There was nothing to, no anesthetic back then, nothing to ease the pain.
How did they get, so they still had to cut him and go in, or did they go through the
it was a major operation to remove him, and that was, and they did it, I'm sure they gave him whiskey to drink.
Yeah, and then they smashed him over the head with a bottle, and that was what really, really helped. We're talking with Jane Flynn, the author of the best trivia book of presidents. How can people get this cool book?
Actually, I have my own web page. It's www.queenoftrivia.com.
Makes sense.
Or they can go directly to Amazon.com, type in best trivia books, and all my books show up there.
So Amazon.com, best trivia books, and it's Flynn, if you're also looking for her name, Flinn. There's not a Y in there. It's Flinn. For Jane Flynn. Last question for you. Since it is going to be Washington's birthday, you were going to tell us some stuff about Georgie. So talk to me about George Washington. Tell me some cool, cool, fun things.
Okay. He was making $25,000 in salary, and the vice president was making $5,000 in salary. Well, do you know where 7% of George Washington's salary went to?
Oh, wait, let me think. I wouldn't be a mistress, although probably could have made her very happy because he took out his teeth and could do stuff. But let me think. Was it towards his vineyard or orchard or winery or something?
It had something to do with it. He actually had this one towards alcohol.
Was he a drunk? Or did he just like a wine?
Oh, yeah. He had the largest distillery at the time on his plantation.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, but does that mean that was his business? It doesn't necessarily mean he was... Or was he? Do you know?
He liked his alcohol.
All right. Well, I mean, no, I guess that's not all right. That's pretty terrible. They don't really tell that. They tell the cherry tree story, they tell crossing the Delaware story, and they tell that he was a very good president and wartime guy story. You don't really hear the raving alcoholic Washington story.
No, you don't.
Wow. Where are my teeth? I have them somewhere. Now, that's the kind of way I want to remember the father of our country. Dissipating and dissolute. But remembered nonetheless by Jane Flynn in her book, The Best Trivia Book of Presidents. Jane Flynn, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Being in the neighborhood. Have a great Washington's birthday.
And thank you for having me on your show.
Anytime. Everything is iPod this and download that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned CDs? Well, at Dave's Gone By, we're still making them. Nearly every episode we've ever done is preserved digitally on compact disc and for sale at davesgoneby.org. And at a new low price, $10 per show, shipping and handling included. Add $1 per disc for a personalized autograph and check davesgoneby.org for multiple discounts. P2P, MP3, CD, me. Hey, Dave's Gone By listeners. If you like hearing me, you'll love reading me even more. So hurry and get my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with hilarious plays that were performed in New York, like King Solomon the Wise and Blind Date. 232 pages of pure Dave, only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or visit the Dave's Gone By website. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com. Yes, we go inside Broadway here on Dave's Gone By on this early Sunday night. One thing I didn't mention for the folks listening that, you know, we're not normally on at this time, that Adam Kern's show, Obsess This, is usually on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., but because of the weather and all sorts of stuff some of the things, he was kind enough to give us this early slot on Sunday night. Normally, Dave's Gone By, you can hear it Sunday nights at 11 p.m., 11 to midnight, on this station, WGBB. And also, as I said, you can hear a bunch of old episodes at davesgoneby.org. Now, one of the things we do on almost every episode, old and new, of the show is go inside Broadway for news of the Rialto and reviews as well. So, some kind of big news this week. First of all, news came today of a Broadway show that opened and then got a bad review in the New York Times and then closed after this afternoon's matinee. It was a musical called The Story of My Life. It featured Will Chase and Malcolm Getz, and it was apparently a charming little piece about two lifelong friends, both of whom happen to be gay, but it's like a romance kind of thing. They just stay lifelong close friends and sing about their lives. It got some lovely reviews when they were workshopping it and doing it, I guess, out of town. And there were high hopes, even though it's quite a small two-person musical, no big huge budget, no big epic sort of scale to it, small. And people said, well, why would you bring that to Broadway? Why don't you just do it off-Broadway? And the producers were like, well, because Broadway should be about all kinds of work, not just Mamma Mia and Wicked, but small, intimate things. The producers apparently were wrong, as producers tend to be, or at least they were wrong commercially, if not aesthetically. So The Story of My Life closed this afternoon after only a couple of regular performances and about 3 weeks of previews. Sorry about that, and sorry that I did not get to see it. One show that I do hope to see that was announced as definite for this spring, see, even though it's been a horrible winter for Broadway and we lost a bunch of shows in January, well, there are a bunch of things opening in the spring, including a revival, sort of, it's a St. James Named Desire. No, they're not doing Streetcar again. They're doing a show that you don't get on Broadway that much called Desire Under the Elms. And they did it in Chicago. It got rave reviews there. It's an old Eugene O'Neill play. Dig the cast. Brian Dennehy, Pablo Shriver, and Carla Gugino. She got spectacular reviews. So they're going to bring that to Broadway. It's going to start in mid-April and open April 27th at the St. James Theater. And Robert Falls, who directed Brian Dennehy in that exceptional Arthur Miller revival of Death of a Salesman, he's going to be directing Dennehy in this as well. So check that out. Also, The American Plan, a show that I had mixed feelings about, but ultimately recommended because it's a Richard Greenberg play, and few people write dialogue like Richard Greenberg, and it has quite has something to it, even though the second act bounces around a bit. Well, that extended a week, so you have another week to see it through March 22nd, and I do also recommend the show because Lily Rabe grows into the role, and by her last scene, she works up into something really powerful that I don't think you're going to soon forget. So if you haven't made plans to see it, you've got an extra week in middle of March to catch The American Plan. Now, here's a story with a twist. Literally, there's an off-Broadway show called The Third Story, which I saw on Saturday. Well, I'm happy that I got to see it, at least, because two performances of the show were canceled when one of the stars, Kathleen Turner, cracked her knee and just couldn't get around, was hobbling, was in terrible pain. But trooper that she is, 2 days after this happened, and she missed two performances, she was back on stage for the Saturday matinee, this time on a cane, and it was kind of interesting to hear lines in the play for the character saying that she was older and, you know, had operations early on that left her a little bit twisted and stuff, so it totally worked in character that she's limping along with a crutch and a cane when it wasn't supposed to be there to begin with. I wasn't that crazy about the show. I guess I will give it a mini review here. It's a Charles Bush piece. Bush is the fellow who wrote Vampire Lesbians of Sodom and is known for both being a, well, female impersonator on stage and doing all these sort of old movie-type queen diva roles, and he does them very, very well. And he also writes usually fairly intricate plays. He did that one on Broadway, and I'm blanking on the name of it because I wasn't really going to be talking about it on the show. But it was one about the two couples, and they get involved with each other, and it was kind of funny. And for some reason, it was an actual really big hit about 5 years ago. Most of the time, he does more strange, funny, campy things that are very, very convoluted, and with every scene or almost every line of dialogue echoing further on in a different way with a different character in a different scene. He's a brilliant man and on some levels a brilliant playwright, but there's also something a little bit distanced and calculated and a little too complicated and kitschy for its own good. And I found that with The Third Story, which is playing at the Lucille Lortel Theater on Christopher Street. So while it was nice to see Kathleen Turner, even though forgetting her knee, she could have remembered her lines a little bit more, and it was nice to see Charles Bush too, and there were some other good performances. Can't say I really recommend it, but you know, it's just nice to see that there's a real trooper mentality, as opposed to, if we all recall, a couple of weeks ago, Jeremy Piven turning mercurial with Speed the Plow. And speaking of foot injuries, why is this speaking of foot injuries? Oh, I know why. There's another Broadway show that's going to be happening. It's a rock musical called Rock of Ages that's going to be playing at the Brooks Atkinson Theater. It'll open there on March 17th. Amy Spanger of Kiss Me Kate will be starring opposite Constantine Maroulis and James Carpinello. Does that name ring a bell? If it does, two reasons. One, because he was in that flop musical Saturday Night Fever. And B, and this is where the foot thing comes in, he was supposed to be the co-star of Xanadu, opposite Cary Butler. What happened? He was skating around in rehearsal, really hurt his foot, and he had to be taken out of the show. And unfortunately for him, Xanadu turned into one of the surprise sleeper hits of this early part of this decade. So, go figure, he's getting another shot. He's going to be in Rock of Ages, a new rock musical, happening in March. And so, before we get to a couple of quick reviews on Inside Broadway, I also do have to tell you that something I'm involved with off-Broadway, it's called StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live. It's a cabaret show. It mixes comedians and musicians and magicians and theater critics and theater actors and all kinds of cool. We even had some burlesque people on a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. It's a cabaret talk show review, and you don't want to miss it. It's right in the heart of Times Square at 669 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd Street every Saturday night at 6 p.m., and it's absolutely free to get in if you join StageBuddy.com. And It's free to join StageBuddy.com, so you might as well do it. And StageBuddy.com is this cool website that tells you all the stuff that's going on, from little folk clubs to people doing small theaters with 25 seats to major off-Broadway shows to puppet shows, all kinds of theater and performance and music and cabaret and jazz in New York. You can find out about any night of the week going to StageBuddy.com, and if you go to StageBuddy.com/live, you can find out about the show that I host every Saturday night at 6 at the Times Square Arts Center. So do it. Go to StageBuddy.com and find out more. Now, we're going to find out more about a couple of off-Broadway shows called Lansky, Leia's Train, and John Paul George Ringo right after this message. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for more than six decades, telling you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance. It's all there in the pages of Performing Arts Insider. And you, as Dave's Gone By listeners, can get 10% off annual subscriptions. Just go to PerformingArtsInsider.com to find out more about the business. And don't bother me with Ah, yes, the business of theater. That's what we do here on Dave's Gone By segment Inside Broadway. We're going off Broadway for a couple of reviews now. People who've listened to this program for a while know that we had Mike Burstyn on a couple of years ago. A very, very cool and talented, real pro of the theater. He comes from a Yiddish theater background and very commanding and good presence on the stage. And he was also a guest at StageBuddy.com, that show I just mentioned a couple of weeks back, too. I wouldn't say that I can be completely objective about this review and say that his show is okay. It's called Lansky, and it's the story of Meyer Lansky. It's a one-man performance where he talks about this. Well, he doesn't call himself a gangster. He calls himself a businessman, but he was a businessman selling liquor during the Depression and during Prohibition. And then he was a businessman dealing with other people with names like Knuckles and Fingers and Lepke and things like that. So he never quite admits too much in the show, which is one of the problems of the show. We do get his story, and there are very amusing passages and very engaging passages, but I think the one real problem with the play as it is, which was written by Richard Crevelin and Joseph Bologna, they haven't quite figured out where they stand on him. So there's never a point where he either owns up and confesses, hey, I've done some terrible, brutal things, I have killed people or whatever, and then like me anyway. Or maybe they take a stand that he was mixed up with some really bad people, but never really gotten too involved with that, and he really was just a businessman doing business-type things. It was just a rough trade, as it were. If they came down on one side, it would be a much more interesting play, even perhaps not so realistic according to the man's biography. So there's a point when Lansky tells the audience, you know, I never killed anybody with these hands. And it's left elliptical. Well, does he mean he never killed anyone, or does he mean, well, all he had to do was call one of his henchmen, and they killed with their hands? And it needs to decide something like that, rather than leave it up in the air. And one of the interesting things, and it does heat up towards the end, because he apparently was the only Jew, or, you know, person of Jewish birth, not allowed to be brought back to Israel and live there and be buried there. The only person, every other Jew is allowed to go to Israel and stay there, but he was not because of his, well, his background. Also want to mention another show that I cannot remotely recommend called Leia's Train. It's this boring, pseudo-poetic chick play. Sorry to put it that way, but that's exactly what it is. It's a lot of yelling, a lot of loud train whistles. It's also kind of under-rehearsed for being a really complicated kind of a play because it takes place in two time periods, and the time periods also mesh. Well, that might work if there was a set, but because this is a low-budget, off-Broadway kind of a company, everything was done with bare stage and some really good lighting, but if you were remotely going to be confused in the first place, the staging did absolutely nothing to clarify most of the time where you were, who was who, and let's just say it was a very long 85 minutes at Leia's Train. Ugh. But I did enjoy John Paul George Ringo, which I saw with Dave J. off off of Broadway at the Soho Playhouse just this weekend. Dave Joey was a guest on this show a few months back. He also does our outro theme that you'll hear in a moment or two. So the cool thing was Dave Joey had done an afternoon performance at B.B. King's Blues Club, or an early evening performance, in front of 150 people. His voice was raw. He comes to the Soho Playhouse. There were three people in the audience, and I was one of them, which should tell you, which is not an easy thing, because half his show is improv. It's taking questions from the audience as the four Beatles. And there were points that he handled better than others, as you can imagine, and he filled with more music than usual, and his voice was a little ragged, and there were parts when you could tell certain things he shouldn't try unless he rehearses them first, and he's kind of taking things off the cuff and throwing in some of his own songs, but a lot of the show worked really well, and the energy was there, even in this tiny little house. It felt like a real show, very entertaining. He does quite a good John, pretty good Paul, not such a good George, and a very funny Ringo. So I guess that's about 2.5 to 3 out of 4. Not so bad for an hour-long show called John, Paul, George, Ringo. Got a cool recommendation for that. And I recommend that you stay put for the last moment or two of Dave's Gone By, right after this message. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me, if you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the neighborhood.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the
neighborhood.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the
neighborhood. Yes. It goes so quickly, especially when we do this early evening show like this. But again, I want to thank you for listening to Dave's Gone By tonight on this rainy, snowy, hope we make it a little warmer for you. Also, I want to thank our sponsors, too. Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. 516-797-3229 is the phone number there when Jeff gets back from Thailand. Woodrow Delicatessen, leave off that second W for wonderful food at Woodrow Delicatessen. They're in the Peninsula Shopping Center, open 7 days a week, and they're kosher, but you can also you can eat there on a Friday night, on a Saturday night. The food is just as yummy and delicious and fresh at the Woodrow. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, 10% off for every job, big or small, for Dave's Gone By listeners. Just mention Dave at Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're in they're at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, right next to what was the new Loman Shoe Store. That closed, and I think a Max and Gino's is going in there now, so you can see a sign in the window. Whatever. Go next door, go to Hewlett Minuteman Press, get your copies and your printing done. 569-5577 is their phone number. Area code 516-569-5577. Also, Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway since 1944, telling you every single thing you need to know. It's the journal that professionals use to know what's happening in New York on Broadway, off-Broadway, and cabaret stages. PerformingArtsInsider.com is the place to go for more information. And remember, you can get a really, really wonderful discount if you're a Dave's Gone By listener. Go to davesgoneby.org for more on that. And everybody, check TotalTheater.com, a really terrific website, and I do dare say so myself because I founded it, TotalTheater.com, where you can read hundreds and hundreds of theater reviews, new and old, and bunches of stories about the theater. Plus, remember that it is the gateway to the Dave's Gone By archives, TotalTheater.com. And once more, reminding you to go to DavesGoneBy.org for photos of the show, info about upcoming shows that we're doing, and more than 200 episodes of the program in the archives. Reminding you once more that StageBuddy.com's weekly Night Live happens every Saturday night at 6 at the Times Square Art Center, 669 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd Street. It's free if you're a StageBuddy.com member, so go do it. People are having a wonderful time there, and you can even see our trailer at StageBuddy.com. Also, and coming up, this is going to be real cool, if you go there on this Saturday, we're going to have People from the Frigid New York Theater Festival are going to be doing little snippets of their shows, and singer-songwriter Valerie Eskridge. And then on March 7th, the guest will be Reverend Billy, as well as Connecticut theater critic Rosalind Friedman, on stage, live. And, as I said, it's free. There's no cover charge, but there is food and drink if you want to buy some. Reminder that Shalom, Damn It, Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour airs on Long Island Cablevision Wednesdays at 8 in the morning on Channel 115, and Fridays at 4:30 in the morning on Channel 20, and on Manhattan Neighborhood Network Sunday afternoons at 1:30 on Channel 67. If that's more than you can handle, all you gotta do is go to YouTube and look for Shalom, Damn It. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Well, I want to thank again Adam Curran for giving me this hour to do my thing on Dave's Gone By. Really, really nice of him, so I can get home in a reasonable hour and not be stuck in the middle of Babylon after midnight. And I want to thank Nihal and Gregoire for being really cool friends and putting up with my wife and me this weekend. And we've had a wonderful time as usual with them. And I want to thank my beautiful and adorable wife, Joyce, who's back in Philadelphia for a couple of days. Miss you, baby, and I'll see you real soon. It's time to leave the neighborhood, but I will be back soon for the 306th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night, happy Washington's birthday from this Washington Square, and gone by.
Locked up my bedroom and I walked out into the air with nothing I needed was left there behind me. I walked out through the shadows of Washington Square. I wander the highways from Dublin to Berkeley, and I heard the songbirds of Ballyporeen. But I love like a mountain that left me. Memories of walking through Washington.